Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
That was the voice of Brian Brown, the creator of the Brown Briefly. Together, we the Brieflys strive to keep Brian's creative flame alive by bringing to you every week another episode of intelligent, we hope, discussion of current events laced with humor and empathy, always guided by Brian's mantra of less is more, more or less. And we are still adjusting our things, and we have no sound whatsoever. There we go. I got mine back. Let's see here. I think, Bruce, I think you turned everybody off.
I tried not to. Magic.
All right, all right.
Let me introduce the Brieflys and our guests. Can everybody hear me? Okay. Engineering the show from behind the big board at the Voice of Vachon's Gene Bosch broadcast studio in bustling and bodacious downtown Vachon is our intrepid retired Alaska, not Alaskan, although you did go into Alaska
a lot,
so you were an Alaska airline person flying into Alaska quite a bit.
Indeed.
Captain, my fellow treetop flyer Truman O'Brien. Good morning, Truman.
Good morning. Yes, please, Alaska.
I know
airlines.
You must run into that.
Oh,
all
I hear
the time.
It all the time. Just grates on my nerves.
That's right. I hear you say it occasionally.
On ATC, you'll hear that. Yeah. Yeah. You can take the pilot out of the airline, but you can't take
the airline
out of the pilot.
That's right.
That's it. Yeah.
Also present in the studio today is the newest and youngest member of the Brieflys, our very own community motivator and feisty fairy fixer, Amy Dreher. How are you, Amy?
Good. Good morning. I like the feisty. I identify that way.
Well, yeah. I thought that was appropriate.
Yeah, it works.
Surprisingly and happily, zooming in from his boat or near his boat, which is anchored somewhere north of here, is the guardian of our political conscience, Kevin Jones. Hello, Kevin. Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, boy. You got a bad connection, Kevin. We can barely hear you there.
You got a nice picture on the Zoom screen, but your sound is virtually at about 10%.
Yeah.
So.
Want to try it again?
Okay, we'll strive to improve that, but glad to be joining you from north of Vachon.
Somewhere north of Vachon.
Yeah.
That's right. We picked that up. All right, well, we'll have to check in with you from time to time just to make sure that you are or aren't, and we will make adjustments here. Let's see. Oh, I was going to say that Bruce was zooming in, Bruce Holman, but Bruce is here in person, our island historian extraordinaire. Bruce, how are you today?
Hey, good. Always good to be in the studio.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. Joining us today are native Vachon Islanders Mark Sayre and Zach Mann, who will enrich and enlighten us regarding the upcoming Vachon Island Film Festival. Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
Oh, I'm happy to have you. And Zach, you're down in sunny Southern California?
Yes, I'm south of Vachon. And it's great to be here.
Good, good. And I'm a dispute resolver and a samurai swordsman, not necessarily in that order, Craig Bellis. As per our usual practice, let's take a moment to check in with everyone about what good things you experienced this past week. Amy, you were busy, were you not?
I was. I'm still a little hoarse. Strawberry Festival weekend. We talked to hundreds of folks about fixing our ferries. That was a big highlight of the week, was being able to connect with a lot of folks who are not surprisingly passionate about restoring good ferry service to Vachon Island.
Yay.
Yeah,
yeah, he's right.
Yeah.
So, did you get lots of people volunteering to say they'd help out in the future on that?
We did. Well, we have our Action Alert Network, and that is, when we send an email and says, "Hey, call your legislator or call this person right now and say, this is the issue of the day." So it's really our Action Alert Network that, helped us get everything over the line and secured in the legislature last year. And of course, this year is going to be an even bigger one. It's the big biennial 2-year budgeting. So we are going to have lots of Action Alert alerts for folks. And we were definitely able to reach a lot of people who said, yep.
And if people want to be on that list, what do they do?
They can go to fixourferries.org. And there is a spot to sign up for our email list. We also give you some good breaking news. You're also kind of, the first in line to hear about when we, for instance, this past couple weeks, I've been getting our regional ferry coalition online and having a lot of good conversations about a lot of stuff. So you also get to be a little bit first in the know.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Bruce. Did you just stay at home the entire weekend, or I saw you out there?
Most of it. Tried to stay cool as much as anything. But no, it was a great weekend. Friday night at the museum, we had our annual ice cream social. It was spectacular. We had over 600 people walk through the museum at that time. And we unveiled the hydroplane exhibit. We have a special exhibit in the back now of Roger Stanley's hydroplane, the first hydroplane to go around the island, designed by Ted Jones, famous hydroplane designer who did Miss Thriftway and Slow Motion and boats like that, who actually lived on Vashon for a while and designed this boat for Roger in the early 1950s. And so we now have a permanent display in the back of the museum honoring the 4th of July hydroplane race. But they don't call it a race.
No.
The annual hydroplane experience. Interesting, this year out of, I think, 6 or 7 boats started, only one finished.
Right.
So,
I did not know that.
When you keep your toys in your barn all year long and bring them out once a year, they often don't work.
I'm
going to get that alcohol free.
Exactly.
Not high enough octane, though.
Yeah. Right. But it was a good festival. A lot of people through the museum, a lot of people at the booth. But then also last night, Amy and I had the opportunity to go to a meeting with hopefully our future governor.
Bob Ferguson.
He sure had some good campaign promises about fixing those ferries.
He did.
He came right
through about the ferries and some other issues, mental health care, those kind of things. But it was really good to see him on Vashon and be able to get him to respond to Vashon issues. So, good week.
That is a good week. The museum is spectacular, and that outside area you've got in the back is beautiful. And I only had 6 or 7 cups of ice cream at this. Was there any leftover?
No, nobody was counting. Hadn't been there, we would probably have some left.
I only had one. I wanted 6, but I only had one. If you don't know where the museum is, it's right off of the main highway on Bank Road on the south side there. Kind of kitty corner from the land trust. Just a fabulous job that Bruce and everybody at the Heritage Museum has been doing over the last many years, but especially the last several months. Truman, how about you?
Well, I did a bit of the festival. You and I emceed the parade, the main parade this year again. And gosh, that's always fun to do. And I thought the parade this year was really, really excellent. I mean, better than any of the previous years, I think, that you and I have done it anyway.
Maybe we did a little better job, too. I got lots of compliments, not for you and me, but I did hear a lot of people express what you just expressed about the parade. They really liked the parade.
It was fabulous. I mean, we had 2 flying saucers, for crying out loud. I mean...
One of them brought up shade.
Yeah, it brought shade. I was going to say, I did get a text from a friend who said, the commentary is fire.
Oh, so, really? Oh,
fire. All right.
Yeah, she was watching on TV, and she said, commentary's fire.
Oh, wow. Cool. That was great. Yeah, I appreciate that. So. Yeah, so if you go to voiceofashon.org and click on the parade, you can actually get to see it all over again. It's right there on video. So enjoy it. And then the next day, I actually engineered for the car parade where we had Captain Joe and Kate. The reason I'm laughing is that Kate can tell you if the car matches her lipstick, and that's about all she could tell you. But Captain Joe was really knowledgeable about the cars. I mean, he knew what engine the car came with, and, you know, I mean, just the whole works. It was very, very fun and very interesting. And this year, Captain Joe moved it right along in a smart and seaman-like manner, as he would say. In previous years, he got a little long-winded.
Well, he knows his cars, and he likes to share his extensive knowledge.
And I appreciate that. I appreciate
it. He does, except the people in the parade. Their cars are overheating.
Exactly. And did you win something out of this?
I'll get to that in a second.
Okay. All right, that was my week.
Well, let me before I move to Zach, Kevin, are you out there?
I'm here. You should be able to hear me okay.
Oh, yeah, we can now, yeah.
I've been meandering across the rocky shores of the island we're hunkering down on to find the best signal, and hopefully this is it. But we've had a good week. Last time we talked, we were in Ganges. We're now on a little island that we pretty much had all to ourselves the night before last, which is pretty magical because it's... full of birds. A hummingbird, by the way, just came by and said hi, as you're asking about whether I could talk. So this is the kind of place that I love spending time. Also should mention, the very first thing I heard on crossing the Canada-US border was that we have a new contender in the Democratic presidential race. So that was pretty exciting news to hear.
Well, thanks for that newsflash.
Yeah, we hadn't heard that.
It's funny you mentioned that. My wife is up in the Pasayton Wilderness near the Canadian border on a horse, and I don't think she has a clue of what's happened here as yet, because she is totally incommunicado, doesn't have a sat phone or anything.
Oh, wow.
So. Yes, well, the morning's news, of course, I think we might get to this later, but it looks like enough delegates have rallied behind the vice president to make it go. So we shall see how it plays out.
Yep. Good. I'm glad you're coming in loud and clear there, Kevin. Let me move over to Zach down in Los Angeles way. What have you been up to the last week, Zach?
Are we talking about, was that the U.S. election?
I think so.
Oh.
I think, yeah. Venezuelan, I think. Yeah. I'm not sure.
How many text messages do you have unread, Craig, from the DNC?
Oh, man.
No.
Lots.
Unbelievable.
So my week, honestly, it is a little bit bittersweet to be away from the island during Strawberry Festival, because I want to have the same kind of stories like y'all have with ice cream and cars and all that fun stuff. And my nephew was able to be up there with my parents, so his grandparents, and spend the time on the island doing all that fun island stuff. So I know that's a huge time to see a bunch of friends and family, and I'm just bummed I wasn't there. But, you know, LA is fabulous. I'm very lucky, and my wife and I and our dog spend a lot of time hanging out together like we always do. And I'm actually currently editing the film that we just shot up on the island in February, where Craig plays one of the most important extras, as well as one of his beautiful cars plays a beautiful part too. So we're currently working on that right now. So you're a huge star. Right now,
I can't wait to see the laser beams coming out of the front of the car.
Yes, and the drone too, which we got legally permitted.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but first cabin there. All right. Anything else you want to tell us about right now, Zach? I mean, no, I'm going to ask you a whole bunch of questions here in a minute.
Let's move on. Let's keep the show.
All right. All right. Let's move on to Mark. Mark, what about your last week?
It was great. I kind of, like Amy, I spent most of the time over the weekend at the Vacheron Film Institute booth talking to hundreds of people, both on island and off islanders, about everything from the film festival to the Quartermaster Lab and VFI Presents and all of the cool programs we have at VFI.
That's a productive week.
It was.
We'll be talking about the film festival here in just a moment. I can't wait to hear what's going on with that. My heat pump I got fixed. That was a good thing.
Yeah. That is huge, man.
Just
that
in was time a big, for the
that,
break.
That was a big deal because it went out on that first really super hot day, and it took me over a week to get somebody out there to work on it. Nothing that money can't fix. The car parade, Truman mentioned the fact that we emceed the regular parade, which is a great honor every year. To do that, and Truman and I, although a couple of people came by while Truman and I were sitting on the stage, said, I thought they didn't allow you two guys to sit next to each other anymore. Because you have a tendency to get into some kind of disaster. But that didn't happen.
Well, we didn't fall off the stage.
We didn't
at least.
Fall. Even though we didn't have a railing here.
That's right. Oh boy, don't go there.
And and the car parade. One of my cars did. Won first place in the import division.
Cool.
So I was happy about that. Having spent a little bit of time detailing it before I got there. But that was a lot of fun. All right. Let's see now. This is July 23rd. July 23rd is a significant day, as are all days. It's 16 days until the opening of the Vashon Island Film Festival, which opens on Thursday, August 8th. Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong on any of those things.
That's correct. You're very correct.
Okay, good. 27 days until the Democratic Convention, I wrote some of these notes before the events of this last weekend, so I added the little editorial. The Democratic Convention, which fittingly is in Chicago, as some of us remember, a convention from many years ago, that starts on August 19th. And it's 105 days until the presidential election on November 5th.
Get out and vote.
You're right. Exactly.
Vote while you can.
Yep. Vote vote often and vote, early.
Primary ballots are in your mailbox now. So
that's right. I just picked mine up.
Yeah, time to vote now.
Yeah, that's what right. Are there, like 15 people running for governor? I mean, I couldn't believe.
Is Space Guy back?
But I don't think he's running for governor.
Oh, he's running for something else.
He's running for senator.
Senator, that's right. Good Space Guy.
Oh, he is. Okay.
Yeah, he's
right.
Always.
Against Maria.
Maria Cantwell. Oh, good.
Good. That's an uphill battle.
That's going to be a tight race.
That's right.
If first you don't succeed, try again.
Yeah.
Many, many times. Hey, on this day, on July 23rd, in 1579, Francis Drake departed San Francisco Bay to cross the Pacific Ocean. Or not.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're pretty big dispute as to whether or not Sir Francis Drake actually ever sailed into San Francisco Bay. Really? San Franciscans are not real happy about some of the new discoveries in that regard. But there's a fair contingency of individuals who think that Sir Francis Drake went into the Straits of Juan de Fuca and came right down into Puget Sound. Yeah. And that's what the maps were that he brought back. But, Bruce, I'm not going to... You have any comment on that? Are you up on the whole Sir Francis Drake controversy?
Well, there's lots of great stories about the Northwest Passage, and lots of fantasies. And, even Juan de Fuca was kind of a fantasy in many ways. So, probably not, but it makes a great story.
It does. Well, especially if you'd have seen the flying saucers, at that time.
Exactly.
Oh boy, that was something.
Sorry. They may have lighted the way for him.
There
that's
you
right.
Go.
Yeah. I get a kick out of the fact that Maury Island incident actually occurred a year before the Roswell. I think.
Yeah, actually, not quite a year. Just about two or 3 months.
Before. It's while the guys were traveling through our.
Yes, right. They were visiting.
Okay. Yeah. All right. In 1866, the Cincinnati Baseball Club, which was. Originally named the Red Stockings, was formed. In 1904, the ice cream cone was created during the St. Louis World's Fair. Hmm. And in 1994, all 40,000 ceiling tiles in the kingdom had to be replaced. You remember that?
Yeah.
Dropping down there on top of people?
Yeah.
Today,
before they pancaked the whole thing.
What's that?
before they pancaked the whole thing.
That's exactly. Right. That's exactly right.
Years later, yeah.
Yeah. Today is hot enough for you day? Well, yeah. Actually, it's perfect. It's almost perfect. This is also Vanilla Ice Cream Day and, coincidentally, Sprinkles Day and Yada, 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 Yada Day. But we don't need to get into that. All right. Let's get into our small talk section or portion of the show. I'm thrilled to have Mark Sayre, my neighbor, and Zach Mann, my old friend and client, now here on Vashon. They're going to talk to us about the third annual Vashon Island Film Festival. Welcome to you both.
Thank you for having us.
Well,
yeah.
we're thrilled to have you. And the first thing before we get actually into the film festival is let our listeners know who the heck you are, how you're related to Vashon, and how you got into the film industry. Who wants to start out here?
Zach.
You go first. No, okay. Mark. My notes include a segue into you, Mark, so
okay.
You have to go first.
Okay. Well, speaking for both Zach and I, we both grew up on the island. So we were here through high school and then left to do the various things that we have done. I wound up, after college, going to Los Angeles, and I initially worked on the distribution side of the motion picture industry for a company called Xenon Pictures, which at the time was the largest urban Spanish language alternative programming distributor in the United States, which is run by Lee Savage, who would go on to write and produce Straight Outta Compton. Right. But I wound up running acquisitions at the company and then left to produce actually, our first film that we did, I actually did with Zach and with Anthony O'Brien, who also grew up on the island, which we shot that film on the island years ago now. But I spent the...
And the name of that film was?
It was Perfect Sport, was the name of it, yeah. And we had scenes at the high school and at Tony's house, and when it was called Bishop's, now Pop Pop, and Glass Bottle Creamery. But... very fond memories of making that movie. I would leave Xenon and then started just producing probably close to 20 years, over 15. And then recently was sort of unhappy with the distribution and sales landscape for independent films. So I sat down and thought, what would be the model as a producer or as a filmmaker for distribution and sales that I would want to work with? And I founded a new distribution company, sales, international sales agency called The Forge, which originally was just going to be a vehicle for us to release our own films through, but then got popular with contemporaries, and we started having other producers come to me that would say, will you release our film? So now that's what I'm principally doing outside of what I'm doing here on the island with the nonprofit, which was founded during COVID. So, yeah.
All right. And your father is...
Jeff Sayre.
Jeff Sayre.
Attorney at law.
All right. And your grandfather was...
Matt Sayre.
Matt Sayre, yeah. Attorney at law.
attorney at law, and he was president of the bar for a while.
Yeah, he was. Quite a distinct... And you live in a house, or you did, off and on, that was owned by...
George Henriksen.
That's right.
My great-grandfather.
Your great-grandfather. Yeah. And my wife and I, when we first moved in, used to help put up hay with him in that fabulous barn of yours. So.
And George used to run like a soda shop/pharmacy thing out of the roastery before it was SBC. I mean, like years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Plus, he was an incredible horticulturalist. He used to win contests in the county fair with his roses.
Yeah, his roses. That was his thing.
Yeah. So if you didn't know that history there, Bruce, there's
lots of good history here. right?
Zach, how about you?
Hey, well, Mark did a great job and actually, kind of introduced my first foray into film as well. But I had written a note that... And I moved to Vashon when I was in fourth grade, and that meant that I wasn't here for the third grade program. If you miss the third grade program, you're not really like from Vashon. And I always felt that little chip on my shoulder. But I did graduate from the island, and so did my sister. My parents are Joy and Shy Man, if some of you may know them. And they are still on the island for about half the year, which is awesome to come, you know, visit them. And Perfect Sport, that film kind of changed my life because I was living in Portland at the time, and Tony, family friend, you know, Tony O'Brien that Mark brought up, his middle brother, Connor, and I are best friends. He was the best man at my wedding. And yeah, he wanted to get into film, and he moved to Burbank and was at the film school. And I was doing some weird kind of TV stuff. And he was like, Zach, do you want to help out with this project on the island? And I was like, hell yeah, that'll be amazing. And Mark was involved, and met a new friend on the set who became one of my other best friends, and ended up moving to LA. I lived on a beanbag chair in Malibu for about 3 months. And I lived on Mark's couch for way too long. Like, my brain can't even remember how long it was, but Mark probably knows exactly the day I landed and the day I left. It was so long. Looking back, I'm like, holy shit, you guys were so sweet to me. But that's, sorry for my language. But yeah, that's kind of how it all started. And I fell in love with LA and fell in love with the prospects of making film and cinema and art, and ended up making a lot of branded content and videos myself, and managed a band and had a band come out to the island many times called Thick as Thieves. We played shows on the island and in Seattle, and yeah, but now I'm in LA and work on projects with Mark whenever I can. And Mark was super kind to bring me on to the Vashon, you know, Film Festival and see if I could support what they're up to and how to make it, how to make Vashon almost have like that, like Sundance quality to it, like bring a real true international film festival to our home that we think deserves a bigger and more exciting spotlight.
That's great.
Interesting, small island connection, Zach. My son bought the house in Ellisport you grew up in.
No way.
It's a great house.
Well, you know, that house used to be very, very tiny. And when we first moved to the island, that house was just this little thing with one bathroom or one and a half bath. Mm-hmm. And my room had an angle on almost an A-frame.
Exactly.
At 10, I could sit up kind of, but now at, you know, much older, I would never be able to fit in there. Exactly. But even then, my parents were like, do you guys want to live on the island? Do you want to stay here? Or should we go back to Seattle? And even then we were like, we're staying here.
Stay on
this island. We want to live on Vashon.
Hey, Zach, there's a rumor that you spent some time on the other side of the television camera for a bit. Mr. Z-Man, what was that all about?
Yeah. So after I graduated college, I guess during my senior year of college, I auditioned to be on The Real World, which in the early 2000s was a very popular show that luckily you ask any 20 to 30 year old today, they have no idea what it was. So
that's true of many things.
Yeah, exactly. But there was a moment where it was a really, you know, cool opportunity and a thing that a lot of people would audition for, I guess. I mean, I did, obviously. And kind of on a whim, and the next thing I know, I was flying to Key West, Florida during Hurricane Katrina and spent about 4 months living with a bunch of random strangers who became really good friends of mine. And that kind of introduced me to this idea that maybe one day I would move out of the Northwest and maybe move to LA. Because at first, before that show, I was for sure thinking I'd be a Seattle or Portland kid. I went to college in Portland. But that show introduced me to a much larger world in a lot of ways. And then Perfect Sport was like this major catalyst. I was like, man, I love movies. Like, maybe this is what I should really be doing. So if without that, yeah, I probably would never have moved or even got involved with the film.
Wow. Amy.
Yeah. So I was kind of curious, you know, there are wonderful film festivals in sort of idyllic locations throughout the world. And kind of curious about how you decided to bring one to Vashon. Was it sort of, we want to host a film festival and we think it can happen on Vashon? Or did you just, you know, obviously be in love with Vashon and say, this is the kind of spot that needs a film festival? How'd that all come about?
Sort of a twofold answer. When I first moved back, which was right before the pandemic, I knew that in moving back, I wanted to get involved with the community and find something that I could do for the community and bring something back. And, you know, given the nature of my profession, a film institute and this idea of doing a film festival sort of made sense to me. But it really, at that point, was more like idea stage and it was percolating. But then with the pandemic happening and, you know, being friendly with the theater and with the Wolcotts, I knew and we knew, I should say, the Wolcotts knew as well, that it was going to be even more difficult for independent theaters to keep their doors open coming out of COVID, because we knew people would have a resistance to going back to the theater and being in public places. So it became important to find ways to uplift and empower the theater and get people interested in coming back and feeling safe to do that. So the first film festival was in 2022, right when we had sort of, you know, just recently come out of it. I don't think it was only a few months before or something. And that's kind of the reason it happened on the time frame that it did. Had that not happened, I probably would have thought about it longer before doing it. But sometimes you just have to jump in the deep end of the pool. And it was because I think Eileen and I had a chat, and we were only like, the first film festival was like 3 or 4 months out from when it actually happened that we decided, like, we're going to do this. Which is something an insane person does, you know, decide to coordinate a film festival 3 months before it has to happen. But, you know, we were able to do it, and we were able to build on it again last year. And, you know, we're hoping to do the same with this year.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Yeah. And I can jump in really quick, too. I mean, Mark has taken the lead on this and has been just incredible in his love of Vashon and his desire to bring not just filmmakers to the, not just like, you know, tourists / filmmakers to show off the island, but to introduce the island to all of these special films and kind of show off the island is really, really incredible. And I mean, Mark really like does it all. I mean, I do very little. So any question about this, go to Mark, but he's just been insurmountable on bringing the festival here. And also, you know, I think Mark, if you want to talk about this too, it's like, I do feel that when you move back to Vashon, you probably were missing some film stuff too, right? And like, sure. This is a way to kind of bridge some of that. And I think that's what Vashon has that is so special, is that all of these incredible and talented artisans and visionaries from, whether they're from the Northwest or not, when they come back to the island, they are so inspired that they still want to bring things, they want to do what they've been doing here still, right? They don't want to lose out on that or forget all about that. And they bring this incredible energy, so whether it be films or music or art or whatever, I think that's what makes Vashon super special.
Totally. And I mean, one of the coolest parts of the festival already, like, we're seeing direct impact. I mean, the film that Zach mentioned he's working on is, you know, produced, directed, and is featuring one of the actresses from Juniper, the group of girls that made that movie that was in the first year of the film festival. And the girls fell in love with the island when they were here and decided they wanted to come make a movie, you know, and Zach got involved with them as one of the other producers. And we've even had like film critics come. They fell in love with the island. They've moved here. You know, one of them is on our board, Kim Voyner, who, you know, writes for Hammer to Nail and Film Thread. And she's written for a bunch of other things. But you're already starting to see, you know, the impact of having the festival on the island, even with people that aren't on the island, which is super, super cool.
That's great. I mean, we indicated when the festival was. It's coming up on August
8th through the 11th.
Yeah. And when you say the theater and the Wolcotts, of course, there are many theaters on the island. There are not too many movie theaters.
Right. The Vashon Theater.
The Vashon, yeah. Right. Theatra.
Yeah. R before the E.
That's
yeah.
Right. Kevin, are you with us?
I am, yeah. And I'm curious, given the work you're doing and the organization, is the film festival an entirely independent entity, or are you somehow hooked up with some other organization?
Sure. The film festival is actually a program of the Vashon Film Institute, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization based here on the island. And, you know, the film festival is really designed to celebrate you know, and inspire, it's to celebrate independent cinema and to inspire a future generation of filmmakers. But we have two other programs that we announced last year that are, the infrastructure is being built out right now for both of them. We actually recently engaged Rich Hazard, which some of you may be familiar with. He's done a lot of work with Journeyman, but he's now working as a development consultant for us and helping out build the infrastructure of some of these programs I'm about to mention so that we can start hiring. in January, when we'll take on staff and an executive director. But those are the Quartermaster Lab, which is really going to be designed to sort of mirror what the Sundance Institute is doing, where we'll have filmmakers come. They'll workshop projects. You know, some will stay as artists in residence for a number of months. We'll pair them with other producers, screenwriters, directors. And if the board votes to push the project through to production, we'll physically produce and release those projects that get workshopped at the Quartermaster Lab. It's going to have a bunch of different programs, stuff like, you know, the feature program or the episodic program. We're going to have a youth program that we're tentatively calling Frame Changers. We've already been discussing a partnership with Open Space to do this. We're going to have a First Nations program, a Many Voices program that's designed to give voice to underrepresented groups of people, a documentary program, international program, all sorts of exciting stuff that'll be starting, you know, in January.
Wow.
And we'll slowly roll out those sub-programs of the Quartermaster Lab sort of over a couple-year period. And then the third branch, which I already touched on briefly, is VFI Presents, which is the production and release arm for VFI. So it will physically finance, produce, release stuff that gets passed through the Quartermaster Lab, but it also will put up special events around the island. So things like we're doing a night market every first Friday during the summer months. We're going to start having, you know, screenings outside of the film festival every month at the theater that'll bring sort of films you might have missed, independent films you might have missed or not had the opportunity to see in the theater, or cult classics that we can, you know, would all be excited to see again, or maybe you haven't seen it at all. But the cool thing with these screens is, for the most part, we'll be bringing somebody connected to the film, whether it's the writer, the director, a producer, you know, a star, will come and be able to be available for a Q&A.
Oh, that's cool. It is funny you mentioned that maybe it's a movie you never saw before. You get into these conversations with people and you're talking about, you know, just pop information that anybody should know, you'd think. And you make some reference to The Godfather or something, and they go, oh, yeah, I've never seen The Godfather. I hear that's a pretty good movie. Oh. Are you kidding?
Yeah. What, do you live in a hole? Yeah. Man, come on.
There's also one of the things, you know, fun things we've been discussing doing, too, is there's a lot of films that no longer exist, like on streaming platforms. You can't rent them. You can't buy them. You can't stream mm-hmm. them. But that we may have a specific, like, sub-program of curated screens of stuff, like lost films that you're awesome. Not able to go see on a regular capacity, which will be super, super cool.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's great. Kevin, did you have another question or two?
Well, I do. It sounds like a really in-depth and broad subject. So that's pretty awesome to hear about all the scope of the work you're doing. I heard earlier, I think Zach might have said something like, let's make sure that like Vashon has the opportunity to host like a really top quality Sundance Film Festival quality event. Are there other things and goals like that that come to mind for the Institute?
Yeah, I think, you know, on top of what the film festival is doing, which I think is easy to see what its goals and impacts and program is and are, you know, the real point of the Film Institute at the end of the day is to empower artists to create more art and specifically more film. So the Quartermaster Lab, one major point I sort of didn't touch on is all of the projects that we will accept will have to meet one general criteria, and that is either the applicants need to be residents of the Pacific Northwest, and we're using, by the way, like a very broad definition of what that means. It's like Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana and Alaska and British Columbia, you know, so you can have a wide swath of topography to cover. But if the applicants are not residents of the Pacific Northwest, then the projects need to at least be set there or shot there. So the goal really is to empower filmmaking in the Pacific Northwest specifically.
Cool. And so when you pull this all together, what kind of budget do you need to commit to make this all happen? And how are you funded?
So the budget is growing year to year as the festival sort of grows. So the budget for the festival lands, you know, I think on the first year we were maybe like 45 or 50,000. Now you're looking more at like 60 to 70,000. And depending on what we do, it will continue to grow. But, you know, the scope of the festival is it won't get bigger in terms of like the amount of features it probably is able to show, you know, over 4 days, because we're just screening at the Vacheron Theater. And until, you know, if we sold out every show or something and we had big lines, then I think we would, you know, start looking at what other things we might have to do to accommodate a bigger lineup. But we are contained somewhat by the virtue of the fact that we live on an island and, you know, only have so many establishments here. The budgets for the Quartermaster Lab and VFI Presents are much more significant. And that's the infrastructure that both Rich and myself are sort of working on developing and hashing out now. We'll probably have a more formal public announcement about what those actually are. But to date, we've been financed only through private donations. That is changing come this fall. We are applying for a number of grants with For Culture that we hope to receive, and we've already been in contact with them about it, and I feel very positive about the outlook of that, because we will need those types of grants in order to expand in the way that we're discussing.
Let's say somebody's listening in and they go, I love independent films and I want to support independent films. What's a quick and easy way they can do that?
Well, there's a couple ways, you know, if they want to support independent films through the Vacheron Film Institute, and that would be to go to the website. The Vacheron Film Institute website is getting ready to launch, but right now you can go to www.vacheronislandfilmfestival.com. There is a donate button there. We have two types of donation, one is of which is unrestricted, which allows us to apply it to any of our programs or operations. And then there is one that's restricted, which is used exclusively for improvements at the Vacheron Theater, since it's the principal site that we use for the film festival and all of our events. And there are a number of things that we need to do to improve to make it more functional, which is everything from like ADA bathrooms, you know, to stuff that we'll have at the back lot for the youth, right, et cetera. So,
well, it is great that you're working with the theater.
We have a real strong partnership with them. And we also have one of the other things I should mention is, and this will be available once the VFI website launches, in addition to Vacheron Island Film Festival, but we have a membership program now. It's $79.99 a year, but you get an all access pass to the film festival. Wow. You get free admission to all of the VFI screenings that will happen throughout the year. You'll get discount on merch and invitations to a number of exclusive VFI events. Mm.
Great. Truman, you got a question?
Well, you know, I know that that we have kind of a history on Vacheron of doing film in particular. I'm thinking of Wakefield, for example, that was shown here years ago, and that's from a local writer. I know that we have Susan McCabe, who's has been our highly involved with the Voice of Vacheron. Her two sons, Matt and Sean Conan, or film, I don't know if you guys know them, or, mm-hmm. but they should be, I would really like to see them get involved in this as well. So, but that brings me around to, so how in the world do you get submissions? I mean, do you send out an RFP or something, or?
So the program the competition program at the moment at the film festival is actually strictly curated, and it essentially takes Grand Jury Prize and Audience Award winners from the major festivals like Sundance, Cannes, South by Southwest, Tribeca, et cetera, puts them all in competition against each other in both the feature sections that we have and the short sections at once. So it's sort of like greatest hits from the preceding festival season. This is done, one, to have a very high quality program and to give people an opportunity. If you couldn't travel to Park City or to Cannes or to Austin, here you can see it on the island, at once. However, That being said, we know it's important to also empower the local filmmaking. So this year, we opened a new kind of competition within the festival called Shortcuts, which Tara Morgan, who owns and operates Come On Barber, is the sponsor of this year. And that is designed to have locals submit 2 to 10 minute short films produced on the island. They'll showcase during one of our screening sections, and then Tara will get to vote. Along with our jury on, you know, which one wins. And if whoever wins will get a year's worth of free haircuts from Come On Barber. And,
I'm going to get into that. Yeah. I'm telling you, I'm going to sign up.
And 12 passes to the theater to see movies for free. So
that's great.
Super cool prize. Yeah. Especially if you get haircuts from Tara, you should definitely do it.
Yeah. So how many films do you think you're going to be showing this year?
So we just locked the program, and it took a little bit longer than usual, but it's only because we got some really incredible stuff that we had to wait for some answers on. So we have 12 features, and we have 10 shorts. I'm happy that we have the press release went out this morning, so it's being shot for an exclusive, but I will secretly tell you some of these that we have. Our opening night's feature screenings are, well, earlier in the day on Thursday, you have Mar, which was a short film that was shot on the island by a couple that lives in Los Angeles that actually visited independently of the film festival or anything and fell in love with the island and decided to shoot a short film here, and all of the Shortcuts submissions will film. This will be followed by our short film block. And then our two features for the evening, one is a doc called A New Kind of Wilderness. It was the Audience Award winner, I believe, for Best Doc at Sundance, followed by Flux, which is kind of a thriller directed by Brendan Gabriel Murphy. And it had a hat trick at the Egypt International Film Festival, Best International Film, Best International Director, Best Actress. It also took Best Genre Film and Best Actress at Mammoth Film Festival and the Grand Jury Prize at Malibu. The next day, we've got the second short film block on Friday. We've got The Sound, which is part of our new screening section, which also highlights local fare, which is a episodic pilot that was shot up, I think, in the Bellingham area, about a young native girl that has some supernatural powers. That's super cool. And the filmmakers will be here for a Q&A with that. By the way, on the Flux, on the opening night screening, the filmmakers will be here for that too. Bastards of Soul, which is about the band Bastards of Soul, which is Chadwick Murray. They were kind of on the cusp of like international fame, and Chadwick unfortunately passed, but it's the story of that band, and director Paul Levitino will be here. Swarm, which is this killer thriller from Poland. It's very brutal, but it's an amazing film, and it was shot in this area on the coast of Poland that no longer exists because of erosion, this very remote part of Poland. I saw the TV Glow, which is an A24 film. It is directed by Jane Schobrun. It won the Critics Award at the Seattle International Film Festival. It debuted at Sundance, and it was at South by Southwest. It's an amazing movie. Inheritance, which is another local film. This is now on Saturday morning, written by Rachel Noel James, who's a local Seattle filmmaker. And she's actually the lead actress in this. It was directed by Emily Moss Wilson. Another really fun local film about two sisters whose dad dies, and there's some controversy over what is happening with the inheritance. Black Dog, which was won the top Uncertain Regard Prize at Cannes, that is directed by Guan Hu, and is like, think about like The Man and His Best Friend, you know, kind of classic movie, except like the Oscar version of it. It's really incredible film. Resonator, which won the Audience Award for Best Doc at South by Southwest, directed by Allison Tavel. Her dad, who she never met, was one of the inventors of the synthesizer. And so it is kind of this improbable journey with this daughter-father story that connects the living with the dead, not to be missed. The other one I can't confirm yet because that's the only reason the press release hasn't come out, because we're waiting to hear, but it will hopefully be our Saturday night film. Songs from the Hole, which won the Visions Award at South by Southwest. It is about a man that was incarcerated when he was 15 for murder and has since is kind of finding a way to, serve penance for his crimes. And in doing that, he's doing it through art, and he does a visual hip hop album from prison. Mm-hmm. And it's his story. It's pretty amazing. Porcelain War, which won Best Doc at Sundance this year. It is like soldiers on the front line of Ukraine mm-hmm. of the war actually shooting their story. Like, it's all body cam footage mm-hmm. and stuff that they shoot when they're off. It's a powerful movie. Bang Bang, which is, if you like Tim Blake Nelson, this is like a career highlight for him. It just premiered at Tribeca. And I think there were several critics that thought that was like the film to watch there. And then we're closing it with the Grand Jury Prize winner for World Cinema from Sundance, which is Suho, which is another just remarkable film from two Mexican directors. About a young boy that his father was a Sicario, and his father dies, and he's trying to resist being pulled into this lifestyle, but it's very difficult. Really, really incredible movie.
What a lineup.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
I mean, what an incredible top-notch lineup. It's unbelievable.
So I have a totally off-the-wall question.
Mm-hmm.
If one were to sit and watch every movie, how long would it take? Any idea?
Most of the features run, I'd say the average is probably like an hour and 35, an hour and 40. Okay. So, I'll round it up to 2 hours to make it feel easier.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
You're probably looking at like 24 hours worth of movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. That's a lot of popcorn.
I was going to say, man.
Yeah, and Green Rivers.
Yeah, that's Green right. Rivers, yeah. That's right. No, but the thing is, you get so inspired when you see these movies. I mean, they're so impactful. I mean, they are for me anyway. I mean, I see one of these movies and it takes me a little while to kind of, catch my breath.
I think most of these are that way. And I'd like to say that we have a mix of like both, like some where they're so brutal and eviscerating and really make you think about your life and ontology and all that stuff. And then we have a handful that like they're so fun and heartfelt and beautiful. That you will walk away feeling really positive.
Good. Yeah. Well, that's I hope those are interspersed so that you can get a break.
I did do my best.
Yeah.
So hopefully, yeah.
Oh, this is great. Well, I'm really excited and looking forward to this, I can tell you.
Bruce, you had a couple of questions, I think.
Yeah, I did. The film industry is in a tremendous period of change right now. I mean, sort of similar to the rise of the studios, then the collapse of the studios, and it's sort of, with the emergence of, streaming services and production companies out of streaming services. I mean, it's a very different economic landscape.
Yeah.
And how do independent films fit into that? And how does your efforts at the Film Institute fit into that?
Zach?
Yeah, I wanted to jump on that really quick because I was going to say this. Someone had asked about how to support independent film in general, and this is a great answer. In my mind, what you're saying is the studios and the streamers, if you buy the movie, oftentimes if you buy it on like an iTunes platform or Google, a lot of the money will go to a distributor and then, of course, the streamer. These are multinational corporations. But if you give money to something like a VFI, and we're actively bringing these films and the filmmakers to a festival, that actually does a lot more good than just buying it or renting it one time. And so I do feel like one of the best things you can do if you want to support independent film is invest in it locally. And I think for VFI, and one of the awesome things about it is that you can actually give money to something that will bring movies to you that will be far more beneficial for the filmmaker and the actors and the people, maybe not necessarily monetarily exactly like dollar for dollar, right? But it brings so many eyeballs onto it that then next thing you know, you do buy the movie still because you loved it so much. You tell people about to go watch it. So I think, honestly, the industry has changed so much. And I feel very disheartened buy the space. You know, Mark, I think, can talk about this more and what he's kind of, how we kind of shifted. But I do think things like VFI and the film festival are so important to have for independent filmmakers, because without it, the prospects are very limited for the art form today. And it's gotten worse every day. And with AI looming, and not just looming, but being there in the, in, you know, it's not just an elephant in the room. It's like an entire herd of elephants. Mm-hmm. It gets more and more scary to see where independent film is going to go.
Yeah. I think Zach is absolutely right. Supporting, you know, film festivals and these sorts of, you know, independent film institutes is super duper important, but also just in general is watching independent film. You know, for every blockbuster film you watch or big budget film you watch, is taking the time to research and find the independent things that might appeal to you and watch those as well, because we really need the audience in order to justify keeping them around. I mean, the numbers are really against independent film now. Annually, there's like 7,500 independent films produced. Only 800 of those get distribution. So you have about 6,700 average films a year that get made that nobody ever sees.
Wow.
So do the filmmakers get paid for their participation in the festival?
So there are screening fees typically that get paid. They do get paid. You know, a lot of these films, in the case of our festival, have major sales agents or distributors attached. So the screening fee would go to you know, the sales agent or the distributor, and then would go through whatever the negotiated waterfall there was. However, what we do is we cover the airfare and the lodging for filmmakers to come here and to stay. And one of our donors, you know, also a handful of donors put up some other amenities for them, stuff like, you know, being able to get free coffee or drinks, yeah, you know, sure, at some of the local island establishments. So that is something we do that not a lot of other festivals do. Some of the big ones, maybe. Well,
and also, I mean, I would think the distributors, people who are in that business, are going to be here watching these films, are they not? So they might get picked up? Or?
Only one of our films, well, there's a handful that also are about to have announced distribution, but at the time that these were programmed, only one had distribution.
Okay.
So the others are available. Technically, yeah, it would be great if it became kind of a very miniature market where people from LA could come to watch these films.
Sure.
That will probably make the festival have to grow into a place where it was only doing world premieres, which would justify distributors and sales agents wanting to come here. We're still a little bit of ways away from doing that. One of the reasons we curate it on top of quality is that since this is only in its third year, we just don't have the bandwidth to go through submissions, which, as you can imagine, like Sundance gets like 8,000 of them.
Oh, so my gosh.
Yeah. You would have to have a massive staff to pour through it. Obviously, we wouldn't have that many to begin with. But even if we got 500 at, you know, an hour 40, 2 hours, it's like 1,000 hours of stuff to watch. Yeah. It would be very difficult to do with a limited staff that we do have at the moment.
Right.
But these are all places we can grow, and this is why we have the local spotlight screening section and shortcuts, so that we can showcase some stuff that does get submitted to us through informal channels.
I got to tell you, having been to the film festival the last 2 years, it is a remarkable, remarkable event. And I always come out of there just invigorated and feeling good, and people always ask me, what was your favorite, what was your second favorite, what was your third favorite, you know, and then to be able to listen to the movie makers themselves when, you know, in the question and answer Q&A that we have, that you have for several of them, it's just great. We're virtually out of time, and I want to thank both you, Mark and Zach, for being here. Are there any final thoughts that you want to share with us before we call it a day?
The only last thing I have to say is buy your tickets in advance. It helps us a lot to be able to sort of track what the numbers are coming in. But I also think this year, this program is so strong that you'll want to get your tickets and make sure you get in line early for some of these, because I do not envy our jury or the audience having to decide which of these you're going to go to if you're only going to go to a few.
Right, right. Yeah.
I wish we had another 2 hours.
I do too. Zach, any thing you want to say from Los Angeles?
Yeah, well, I can't wait to see everybody up there. I'll be there with my wife, and I can't wait to see people wearing their VFI and VIF merch, and it's going to be a great year. So if you also want to volunteer, I'm sure Mark needs volunteers, and we need all sorts of things to make this festival another spectacular event. So well, look forward to it.
That's great.
And make sure you get on the mailing list, because then you get all of these updates. Oh, yeah, there's probably 10 things we forgot to tell you about.
No
that
doubt.
Will be in there.
No doubt. How much time we got left, Truman?
Oh, about 10 seconds.
No, seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, seriously. Okay. Well, we had some other events go on in the United States here over the last few days, but we won't be talking about those today. Yeah. I was going to ask you at least who you thought would be a good VP for the VP who's running for president. But we'll leave it. We'll leave that alone. So, with that, for Mark, Sarah, Zach, Mann, Amy, Kevin, Bruce, Truman, and me, Craig Bellis, thank you very much for joining the Brown Briefly. Until the Briefly's return next Tuesday morning at 11, please enjoy all that life has to offer, including great independent films that'll be coming up here to the island soon. And we'll see you next week.
And be sure and check the Brown Briefly podcast. You can get it on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast.